2020 has been a year of major milestones when it comes to eco-innovations in aviation. I'm Robert Colangelo, and this is GreenSense, where we bring you the latest in green technology that's leading to a brighter future. We have featured several interviews with innovators that have built and flown electric-powered aircraft that rely on batteries, and there were some big developments recently. But another record was set, the world's first hydrogen fuel cell-powered flight of a commercial-grade aircraft took place in Cranfield, England. We're joined by ZeroAvia CEO Val Miftikoff, whose company developed and flew the plane. Val, welcome to GreenSense.
Thank you, Robert. Good to be here.
So a hydrogen fuel cell creates an electrochemical reaction that converts the chemical energy of hydrogen and oxygen into electricity through a pair of redox reactions. Now that we know what a hydrogen fuel cell is and how it works, in layperson's terms, tell us, how does a hydrogen-fueled plane work?
Yeah, so effectively, the aircraft just needs to convert the energy of the fuel into propulsion, right, into forward motion. And there are many ways to do it. We're doing it in a way that we think will be scaling to the entirety of aviation markets, and this is what we call hydrogen electric, where hydrogen is stored on board of the aircraft and then combined with oxygen from the air produces electricity. And then electricity runs the motors and the motors drive the propeller. Right, so that we are building the entire system, starting from the fuel tanks and all the way to the integration of all the components and flight computers and all of those things to replace the conventional engines.
Yeah, that sounds pretty fascinating. And as I said in the introduction, we've had a number of manufacturers that have created electric planes that run off batteries. Hydrogen's an interesting twist. Fuel cells can produce electricity continuously for as long as the fuel and the oxygen are supplied, which is a great advantage. What are the advantages of hydrogen-powered planes over battery-powered planes in addition to this continual supply?
Yeah, the main difference is that, I guess a couple of differences, I guess, that's relevant. One is, and that's the biggest one, is the energy density of hydrogen as fuel, or hydrogen fuel tanks plus hydrogen fuel cell as a high-density battery, right? So if you look at the best commercially available battery today, large scale, which is probably a Tesla vehicle battery, you have an energy density of maybe 200, 250 watt hours per kilo, which is about 50 times lower energy density than jet fuel. Now, it's a little bit apples to oranges comparison because jet fuel, we're talking about chemical energy, and the battery, we're talking about electrical energy, but, you know, definitely more than 20, 30 times difference. Hydrogen is actually more energy dense than jet fuel, three times better energy density of hydrogen compared to jet fuel. So between the battery and hydrogen, you have almost 100x difference. And that's what drives this selection for us, right? So you can store significantly more energy in the hydrogen electric system than you can in the battery electric system.
So immediately what comes to mind is you probably have a weight advantage. Batteries are very heavy. Hydrogen's pretty light. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. So that's one of the advantages. The second advantage is refueling is much faster than the recharging of the battery. So we are targeting refueling in about the same time as it takes to refuel a fossil fuel power plane, so kerosene or jet fuel. So 20 minutes and you will be able to fly another leg, which is important for the commercial aircraft operators because they, especially smaller planes, they land, they get to the gate or they get to the tarmac and people unload, another load gets in and they need to go. That's 20, 30 minutes. You don't have time to recharge the batteries.
So one of the challenges is that hydrogen needs to be processed and distributed before it can power a car or a plane. And currently, processing hydrogen is expensive, it's explosive or volatile, and there's a lack of a complete hydrogen pipeline network in the U.S. How are these potential obstacles going to be addressed?
Yeah, sure. So several questions there. Well, two questions there. One is availability, and another is safety. So on the availability side, our approach is to generate our own fuel on site. So, and in Cranfield, for example, and I don't know how many articles or coverage pieces actually discuss this, but in addition to the plane, which is, you know, the most exciting part is that we have the aircraft flying and it's zero emission, largest hydrogen electric aircraft and all that, but we make our own fuel in that location. And at Cranfield, we have a fully operational hydrogen production plant. It's a small plant for our R&D purposes, but it takes electricity and water, and it produces hydrogen that we store on site, and then we transfer it to the hydrogen refueling truck that runs around the airport and refuels our planes. So we have a small version of what we think the future will be for refueling infrastructure. So just like the battery electric planes, all we need going to the airport is electricity. Right, and then we make our own hydrogen. Then hydrogen goes into the planes. So that's on the availability. So we avoid transportation of large quantities of hydrogen long distances, which is what traditionally kills the economics of that fuel. And the second piece on the safety part of your question, it's really about the system, safety system. So jet fuel or gasoline are not safe substances either, right? Any fuel that contains significant amount of energy, or for that matter, a large battery, are potentially unsafe if not handled correctly. So we just need to build the right safety system around this new fuel, just like what we did for jet fuel, which is quite safe as a system level at this point.
That's fantastic. And the idea of having hydrogen processing facilities at the airport's an excellent idea. It avoids all that expensive infrastructure development that would have to happen to get it from processing plants to the airport. So I commend you on that. Let's talk a little bit about the flight. Is that you set the record in a Piper M class, a 6-seat prop-driven plane. Could your hydrogen technology, fuel cell technology, be used to power jets?
Eventually. So our roadmap is now we're flying the 6-seat prototype. Later this year, we'll demonstrate long distance flights in that vehicle. And also by the end of the year, we'll start our test program for the 19-seat vehicle and larger powertrain. So our first commercial product 3 years out is going to be going into these 10 to 20 seat aircraft that are already used in commercial service. There are about 10,000 of them worldwide. So that's the first product. The second product level is a powertrain that drives the next size aircraft, like 50 to 80 seats. And that's going to be in 2026. And by the end of the decade, we will see single aisle jets, so similar to Airbus A319 or smaller Boeing 737. By the end of the decade, we'll have them in the air as well.
What are the complexity of going from a prop plane to a jet propulsion engine?
Yeah, much higher level of integration. Of all the components, all the systems. So by the time we're done at that level, the engines will be as integrated as the jet engines of today, which obviously had 50, 60 years of continuous improvements. And right now, if you look at, what we're flying today, it's got a lot of separate, boxes and hoses and wires and all kinds of things that we will design away out of the system over the next 5-7 years.
Val, give us an idea of how big the hydrogen storage tank needs to be on the plane to go 250 miles.
Yeah, so actually 250 miles volume-wise, for these small aircraft, it will be about the same as the volume of fuel that you have today, right? So basically, the rule of thumb is that you have about twice, 2x the volume needed compared to the jet fuel for the same distance. So if your aircraft, for example, was able to fly for 1,000 miles before converting it to hydrogen power, hydrogen electric power, you will be able to fly it for 500 miles using the same volume of fuel, right? And if you want to fly further, then you need more volume for the tanks. Maybe take volume from the passenger space or from the cargo space, or redesign the aircraft with bigger volume for fuel.
Because of the volatility of hydrogen, do you need to make those storage tanks more substantive?
Well, again, it's a matter of the system design. And for compressed gas storage, you kind of get it automatically. And those can be pretty simple systems because a typical compressed gas storage cylinder is very thick carbon fiber composite vessel that is actually almost impossible to break. So there you get a lot of safety almost automatically, and then there are different levels on top of that. For liquid hydrogen, which is going to be the way to do things in the larger airframes, you have to build a little bit more safety around it. But again, look at the jet fuel storage. They store them in aircraft in a lot of cases in what's called wet wings, right? Which is the only material that separates fuel from outside is the skin of the aircraft. Right, so any puncture or any disruption of the skin of the wing can result in a fuel leak. Right, so you can get hydrogen to a comparable or higher level of safety in the system.
Let's switch gears for a second and talk about the environmental benefits. And if you could compare hydrogen against a fossil fuel plane and hydrogen against a battery-operated electric plane, and talk about the benefits of each.
Yeah, well, relative to the fossil fuel plane, of course, it's almost 100% reduction on the emissions. And I think, a number of people did analysis on that. The latest study, I think, said 95% reduction is possible. And they take really everything into account, right, including transportation of materials that go into the production of electrolysis systems, right? So they're really like all-inclusive, so 95%. On the battery side, actually the environmental impact could be higher than hydrogen because of the recycling of batteries that you need to incur. Because the batteries have very limited cycle life. So you have maybe 1,000 or 2,000 cycles on your high energy density battery before it needs to be replaced. And the battery is going to be a very heavy part of the plane, component of the plane. So that's a lot of materials that you have to recycle through. And that may drive the actual economic costs, but also the environmental footprint.
And when you use hydrogen, what's your byproduct?
Water.
Yeah, that's another benefit.
Yeah, it's great. You can drink it, out of the fuel cell. It doesn't taste like anything because it doesn't have anything dissolved in it, right? There's no
it's mineral free.
Nothing, right? So it's not a very exciting thing to do, but at least from the taste perspective. But you can do it.
Well, you're an expert in this area, so share your perspective on hydrogen-powered flight and tell us where you think that's going to be in the next 5, 10, and 20 years.
Yeah, we, of course, started the company because we believe this is going to be the future, or at least a very big part of it. We think that this type of fuel and this type of powertrain will be able to scale to larger and larger airframes. And that's really exciting, because what I want to do personally is to bring aviation, the entire market, it's aviation market, not just small aircraft, not just VTOLs or flying drones, the entire commercial aviation to zero emission. And this is the way to do it. And what was exciting over the last 12 months even is that a lot of players came out and said, yeah, you know, that's probably right. Hydrogen is the answer. And you've seen 2 weeks ago, just actually 2 days before our flight, historic flight here, Airbus came out and said, yes, hydrogen is the answer. And here's the three different models of the aircraft that we're going to be building specifically for hydrogen operation. That was great. We want to build engines for those. We think we can over time.
A lot of times when we go to alternative fuels, it seems like we have to have a basket of fuels. Do you see a basket of planes out there that some will run off of traditional jet fuel, some off of batteries, and some off of hydrogen? Or do you think it'll be a one size to fit all?
Nothing is usually one size, at least.
One fuel to fit all.
Yeah, at least initially, right? There will be multiple solutions for sure. I think the ones that will sort of survive the initial 5-10 years will be hydrogen electric, synthetic fuels, right, which is hydrogen combined with CO2 or carbon from some source, produces liquid fuel, but it's now synthetic, so you can have neutrality on the carbon side at least. You have other disadvantages of burning fuel inside turbines, but at least on the CO2 you will be fine. And battery for smaller vehicles, right? Really small vehicles. So battery for flight training, for example, or for VTOLs does make sense. Yeah, smaller vehicles, shorter ranges. We will see those in operation in those scenarios. Also, batteries might make sense for low utilization vehicles that do not need to have very frequent replacements of batteries as a result. It makes sense, right? But for larger vehicles, longer ranges, and heavier utilization, commercial utilization on scheduled service, for example, we will see hydrogen-based propulsion.
Well, let's talk about you for a little bit here. You have an accomplished background. You graduated from Moscow University, or the Institute of Physics and Tech. You earned a PhD in physics from Princeton, and you also worked for Google for a couple of years. How'd you get involved with building hydrogen-powered planes?
Yeah, good question. Having scientific background helps a little bit. After Google, I founded and run the company in the sustainable ground transportation. So we built the most advanced and largest network of smart charging stations out there for electric vehicles. So that's how I got into sustainable transport in the beginning. And then that company was acquired, and that's when I started ZeroAvia. And the reason it ended up in aviation is because I'm a pilot myself for the last 15 years. I fly airplanes, helicopters, really love it. That's a personal connection there. So those two things intersected, and that's what we wanted to do.
Well, you've got some big, ambitious goals, and big goals take money. So how do you fund this vision?
Yeah, well, so the company is privately funded. We're a venture-backed company. We have great support here in the UK from UK government. That's the big reason why we are here and why these flights are taking place in Cranfield, just 50 miles north of London. We get continued support from the government. We were invited, for example, over the summer by Boris Johnson's cabinet to help lead the effort for Great Britain to become the first country that produces zero emission jet. Mm. We're definitely looking forward to help there. So lots of support from lots of different places.
So excuse the pun, but what is your biggest challenge to get your venture off the ground?
Off the ground. Yeah, so I think the biggest sort of time uncertainty that we see is perhaps in the regulatory domain. Yeah. So obviously we have plans and those plans are validated. And like I said, you know, we're hoping to have the first product in 3 years. But you know, that assumes that everything goes well in the design and certification process. As you know, aviation is quite a regulated industry and for good reasons. So that is probably the biggest source of uncertainty. And we're hoping that, again, the level of government support here helps make this a one of the top priority projects for the regulators as they try to help aviation to, recover from the pandemic impact, but also bring sustainable solutions to the market.
Since you mentioned the COVID virus and the pandemic, how does that impact your plans at all or your operation?
Well, operations, of course, you know, we had some shutdowns and slowdowns here and there. In terms of the overall impact, not so much on the business, really, because, well, we don't depend on any revenue yet. We're R&D phase at this point, so we didn't have to, you know, sort out the impact of losing, you know, most of our revenue like the airline would or the big major companies in the space. So in that way, we're actually at some advantage to the larger companies, right? Because the financial situation for us did not have a large impact out of pandemic.
Well, Vale, I appreciate you joining us on Green Sense, and we wish you the best of luck because, yeah, not only will you decrease emissions, I just think you're going to make transportation much more safer and efficient. So good luck in reaching your goals.
Thank you, Robert. Really appreciate it. Great to be here.
That's Zero Avia CEO Vale Miftikoff talking about hydrogen-powered flight. I'm Robert Colangelo, and this is Green Sense. Subscribe to our podcast at greensensefarms.com. And be sure to check out the Green Sense Minute every Thursday and Saturday on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM Chicago.